My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Mark's gospel moves fast. He doesn't even have any birth narratives about Jesus. He just hits the ground running. And the first verse in the book of Mark, Mark 1:1, is in the beginning. Or rather, I got it mixed up with the Genesis one. He has the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And boom, there he has John the Baptist already baptizing Jesus in the very beginning. Well, the beginning of the good news seems like a good way for us to start our new year. In my newsletter article in the January epistle, I talked about Epiphany as the season of good news in the church year. And we usually think of Epiphany as being the time when the wise men came to visit the child, Jesus, and that's certainly a part of it. And there he was revealed as a new king of Israel and as a king of all nations. They came to worship him. But Epiphany is also a season, and this week, this year, it lasts for just 6 weeks. Believe it or not, Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day this year. But in just 6 weeks, in these 6 weeks, we want to focus on the good news of Jesus that shines like a star in our relationships, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in our world. Epiphany is about mission. It's about making Christ known to all people, regardless of race, color, gender, age, even religion. And this is our calling as God's own people in holy baptism, to make Christ known. Well, most of us understand holy baptism as being the forgiveness of sins, the washing away of our sins, and the promise of eternal life. So, did you ever wonder why Jesus needed to be baptized? I mean, certainly he didn't have any sins. He came from the Father. He was going back again to the Father. Why was he baptized? Well, Jesus was born a human baby to come into our world, to live our human struggles and heartaches, to experience our human death, and to overcome it by his resurrection. And so in the same way, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan to come to be one of us, to experience our baptisms, but more importantly, for us to become one in his life, death, and resurrection. Through holy baptism, we become brothers and sisters with Christ, and we too are beloved children of God. So today I want to emphasize that holy baptism is our beginning, a beginning of a new life with God. And it is also about belonging to the Christian community, which is, of course, the church. People long to belong. They yearn to be a part of something bigger than they are. A couple of times now recently, I've heard a man named Christian Picciolini promoting his book, White American Youth. And he talks about how he was marginalized when he was a young person in high school, and he began to build up a lot of hate inside. And he was attracted to a neo-Nazi group. And by the age of 16, he became the leader of this group. All of these kids were so filled with hate. And what changed things around was that someone decided to take a chance on him. Someone from IBM hired him. And after that, he went to college. He started a music and a writing career. And now he has founded an award-winning nonprofit peace advocacy group called Life After Hate. He and other people who are experts on gangs say that what youth are looking for is a place to belong. They're looking for a place to form their identity, and they're looking for community. Author and researcher Brené Brown has also studied what she calls true belonging. She asked people what their main concerns were about belonging. And she says the answers were surprisingly complex. People wanted to experience real connection with others, but not at the cost of their authenticity, their freedom, or their power. Participants reported feeling surrounded by an us versus them culture that creates a feeling of spiritual disconnection. They said they felt a diminishing sense of shared humanity. Over and over, they talked about their concern that the only thing that binds us together now is fear and disdain, not common humanity, shared trust, respect, or love. And they reported feeling more afraid to disagree with friends, colleagues, and family because of the lack of civility and tolerance nowadays. And they didn't want that to jeopardize their belonging. So this is the spirit of saying, yes, we are different in many ways, but under it all, we are deeply connected. And that's what people are looking for. So what does this have to do with baptism? Well, without proclaiming simple answers, I want to say that we as Christians already have that community. It's a gift to us in holy baptism. Even though we have many differences, what transcends those differences and what binds us together is God's love poured out on us in holy baptism. And the world is waiting and is ripe to hear this good news. The world longs to hear the love of God that brings true belonging and true community. Recently, I read a story about a pastor who adopted an 8-year-old girl into his family. And she had previously been adopted into another family, but they had not been very good about integrating the adopted child in with their biological family. And after a few years, they dissolved the adoption, and the pastor and his wife were able to adopt her. The previous family vacationed in Disney World each year, and they took their biological children with them. But they left the adopted girl with a family friend. And usually, at least in the child's mind, it was because she had done something wrong that kept her from going on the trip with the family. So the young girl had seen pictures of Disney. She had heard about the rides and the characters and all the fun. But she had never actually entered the Magic Kingdom herself. The new adopted father vowed that he would take her. However, as the time grew closer to the trip, his new daughter began to seriously misbehave, and she stole food that she could have easily just asked for, and she lied when she could have told the truth. She whispered insults into her older sister's ear. And her behavior got so bad that finally he took her on his lap and he said, "We have to talk about this." She replied, "I know what you're going to do. You're going to say that I can't go to Disney World with you, aren't you?" He was embarrassed to admit that that thought had actually crossed his mind. But now her behavior was beginning to make some sense. She had failed to pass the test of earning her way to Disney World many times before. She was protecting herself from another letdown. Instead, he asked, is this trip something we're doing as a family? With tears in her eyes, she nodded. "Are you part of this family?" She nodded again. "Then you're going with us. Yes, there will be some consequences from your recent behavior, but we're not leaving you behind." Well, he said that he would have liked to have reported that her behavior improved after that, but it did not. As they rode down to Florida, the family's endurance was tested at every rest stop and every hotel along the way. Finally, they arrived on the promised day. They went to Disney and they had a good time. That evening in the hotel, a different child emerged. She was exhausted and a little weepy, but her rebellion had vanished. "So how was your first day at Disney World?" the father asked her. She closed her eyes and snuggled down into her pillow. And then she suddenly opened her eyes and in a moment of epiphany said, "Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World. But it wasn't because I was good. It was because I'm yours." It wasn't because I'm good. It's because I'm yours. We belong to God, our Father, and God rends the heavens in order to claim and reveal his Son as his beloved one. He did the same in your baptism. He broke through to us and called us his beloved children. This is the beginning of the good news. Amen.